Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. With Thanksgiving behind us, we're heading into the winter season on the Cape Coast and Islands. In decades past, that meant we'd have to wait until late spring to visit museums, see a live performance, or an art exhibit. Today, with a robust year-round community and more arts organizations than ever, we can engage with the arts year-round. Today, we discuss what it takes to keep the arts alive and thriving all year. Plus, we invite arts organizations, artists, and performers to share what's on tap this winter. And listeners, we want to hear your favorite ways to engage with the arts around the holidays and beyond. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. In studio with me this morning is Julie Wake, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you.
Also with us is Sarah Johnson, Executive Director and CEO at the Cahoon Museum in Kituit. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you're here today because, as you know, I've mentioned, I drive by, I see all this cool stuff happening outside, but haven't gotten inside since before the renovation, so I'm anxious to hear all about that. But first, Sarah, why don't you start, tell us a little bit about, for people who aren't familiar with the Cahoon Museum, what's your mission?
Yes, so we're a very vibrant art museum. This is actually our 40th anniversary this year, and we promote art education and enjoyment of the arts. So we have art exhibitions, programs with artists. It's just a very vibrant cultural center for our community.
Yeah. And you have that the gardens now I didn't know about.
I know.
You bought the building next door. You've got all kinds of great plans.
We're growing and expanding.
I love it.
And there's just so much interest in cultural programming in our community and so many artists on the Cape that, you know, we're a center for it all.
I love it. All right, Julie, Arts Foundation. I mean, I'm can't imagine there's many people who don't know about you, but for those who don't, tell us.
Oh, that's so nice. We are also hitting our 40th anniversary. Yes. So that's kind of an exciting milestone. So I like to describe the Arts Foundation as we build community through the power of arts, and we do that through grant making, through professional development, convening of artists and arts leaders, advocacy for the arts in our region, and all those good things. I get to spend so much time with artists and cultural leaders like Sarah and have great partnerships to help elevate the arts here in the Cape and Islands.
And so much of that's so important because when you look at the artists, they're so creative, right? Mm. But they're really involved in that creative process. And sometimes, not all, they need some help like with promoting and business
plans capacity.
And all of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. And of course, we always need advocates.
Yes, yes. And you know, I don't do it alone.
Right.
You know, all the arts leaders help and with input because they're the boots on the ground that really know what the needs are for the sector, for the whole creative sector.
Do you know how much the arts contributes to the regional economy and how that has changed over the past couple of decades? I know it's a lot more. But
yeah. So Mass Cultural Council is working on those numbers now. They've put something out that surveying the whole landscape for the Commonwealth. To find out how many cultural institutions actually exist, and they're uncovering way more than we thought.
Mm.
And so they're doing that inventory and audit of the entire state. So we should be having those numbers probably the beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I don't have number for just
We know it's a big number.
It's big, yeah. And we see it. Like, there's just so, the population of creatives is so high. That, you know, my job is to, you know, advocate so they have a place to live and work here,
yeah,
and create.
Well, and I would say, too, I mean, in addition to serving our year-round residents on the Cape, our cultural organizations draw people from off Cape, and we have a huge
right.
impact on local businesses and the mm-hmm, community.
Yeah.
I mean, the arts are such a key part of Cape Cod's identity, from Provincetown all, you know, down to Woods Hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we people really do take trips from Boston, all around New England, to come to the Cape, and there's so much to offer arts-wise.
Yeah, yeah, we're an international destination for arts and culture, and we've always been, you know, Provincetown is the first arts colony in the country, and it still exists in very thriving community. It does get quiet in the winter, and they like it that way, I believe.
But some people like that, right?
Yeah,
it's like you're not fighting the summer crowds.
I know. My best Thanksgiving was spent in Provincetown. You know, it was a sunny Thanksgiving and walking around and going to all the galleries. They have such a thriving gallery walk on Friday nights in the summer. And that whole group of gallerists are very, very active year round. I was just reading some, you know, some of the activities that are going on, you know, this holiday season. So
yeah, a lot going on. Are the arts becoming more of a year round or is it a three season economic driver, would you say?
Oh, year round.
Year round.
What do you say, Sarah?
I think it's year round. I mean, our Cape community is year round now.
I was going to say, is it because we have more year round population or are we just seeing more visitors that are year round or is it a combination?
I think that because we have such a year round strong population, that the arts are being leaned on for so many things, you know, like the prescription for arts. Arts are woven into extracurricular activities for kids. These are really important things for our community. And the arts leaders and cultural organizations are the ones that are stepping in and helping across different sectors, you know, healthcare, the justice system. Like you see it, right, Sarah?
Yeah, we love to collaborate. We actually have in our, we have an exhibit on view that highlights our 40 years of collecting. And we have a part of that called Community Voices, where we invited in different people from the community to have a take on some of the art on view. So we have Barnstable Land Trust commented on some nature paintings. We had a young woman from Net Your Problem in Provincetown, which is a fisher people organization. And so she actually had a this beautiful and touching commentary on this painting of the Provincetown waterfront. And she was saying it's so familiar to her, but she can't live there because she can't afford housing. So the arts touch on environment, housing. We had Barbara Burgo from the Cape Verdean Museum comment on, it was an 1882 watercolor of Cape Verdeans at a cranberry harvest. And it's this touching story about her family and her connection to the cranberry harvest. So yeah, just like Julie said, the, you know, the arts are connected to everything.
I say, when you mentioned fishing, I was just thinking, you know, we haven't had in a while, but the New Bedford Waterfront, Working Waterfront Festival, they had some really great poets who were fishermen, right? These you know, people have been fishing for and writing this beautiful poetry, you know, who would know that, that's in them, right?
But yeah, I see such a strong connection between the fishing industry and the arts. I really do. Like, there's just this kind of they're not like completely valued all the time, and they really are a strong piece of our history and legacy here, you know, especially living on the Cape or New Bedford or close to the water. And artists too, they go hand in hand and they capture each other's moments.
Well, when you think about it, they're out there in nature, out on the water. I mean, they see all of this, you know, beauty. And they just, you know,
and
I
they
could
see
where
change.
It, and it could ignite that creativity.
Yeah.
I could see
and art and science as well. Because scientists are looking at nature closely. It's like people who are very close to nature.
And there are scientists bringing artists into their labs.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's
which was very cool. Yeah. So what kinds of conversations are arts organizations having around what to offer in the summer months versus the off season when the audience is different, right?
Yeah, we usually find, you know, our summer months are dedicated to our seasonal, our tourists, and a lot of our locals don't want to be zipping around during that heavy traffic time.
And they're working.
Yeah, they're working. So we use our fall and our spring to serve like our school groups and our local community. So we often do like group exhibitions with a lot of local artists in the fall or the spring when the to highlight that part of our community. Mm-hmm.
Julie, what are you hearing?
You know, I don't program, so but what I hear through the arts leaders group is similar to what Sarah said, where it's, you know, it's attracting the artists to, I mean, not the artists, but the tourists that come in to really ignite their interest and curiosity to come back in the off season, too. I think that a lot of cultural groups think about that.
Yeah. Not too many though. Let's not have summer year round, right?
I know.
So are would you say that people are looking for different ways to engage in the arts at different times of the year, Sarah?
Well, I think it's weather dependent too. Mm-hmm. So in the when the weather's nice, you want to be outside. So that's one way we use our new gardens is by having art out where people can be outside in nature and enjoy the art. And then, you know, months like these, the fall and winter, when it's cold, you want to be, you know, you don't want to be stuck at home. You want to be out making something or taking a class or seeing an exhibit, mixing with people from the community. Mm-hmm.
And I think especially in the off season where isolation starts to begin, this is one of the most important assets that the Cape has are these programs.
Right.
For, you know, people who feel isolated to reconnect with the community by taking a class, going to a lecture. All the cultural groups are doing panel discussions, and you don't just have to go in and look at art mm-hmm. by yourself. There's yeah. like lots of things going on.
Sarah, you mentioned kids, and I think there's I remember when now my daughter's in her mid-30s, when she was young, and she's very artistic, there was not a lot. I really struggled in the summer, maybe, but the year round, there was not a lot for kids. And there is so much more now for kids to be involved in the arts.
Yes, and we want to build those early audiences for culture. We have, the Kahuna has become so family-friendly. We have all kinds of interactive activities and family-friendly programs. We've incorporated into our exhibits touch and play areas and digital kiosks, and just because people learn in different ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids don't always want to walk through and look at 2D art and read a wall text. They want to learn in different ways. So
right.
we want to appeal to that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Laura Reckford, who's giving us a call. Laura from the Falmouth Art Center. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Nice to hear this conversation.
Yeah,
a great conversation about the arts.
And talking about kids programs, Falmouth Art Center has had kids programs for a long time, year round. Thank goodness for that. Laura, tell us a little bit more for folks who aren't familiar with Falmouth Art Center.
Well, we're coming up on our 60th year here at the Falmouth Art Center. And actually, a group of artists started meeting in the 1950s in Falmouth, and in the 60s is when they decided to get their 501c3. So coming up on the 60th anniversary in 2026, we are dedicated to the visual arts, offering education exhibition opportunities year-round. And among those things, as you said, we have students from age 5 all the way. I think our senior student right now is 97 years old.
Wow.
So we always say you're never too old to take an art class.
Yes.
So people, just as you folks are talking about, you know, this is a great way for people to stay socialized and busy in their older years, and also for the kids, of course, getting them away from their screens and doing something fun with their hands and
great.
Creative.
And it's fun no matter what you choose, right?
I mean,
you're going to have fun. Laura,
so
thank you.
We have a very large ceramics program as well as weaving and, of course, all the painting arts as well.
Great. Laura, thanks for calling and reminding
us
of that.
And I do want to say we have our holiday market and gift gallery going now.
Okay.
Open every day from now to Christmas Eve. So
gotcha.
The work of 120 local artists.
Oh, I love that.
Thanks
local
so
artists,
much.
Too. All right. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for calling. 866-999-4626 is our number. We're talking about opportunities to engage with the arts in this holiday and winter season, and we're inviting arts organizations and artists to share highlights of your upcoming season. Listeners, we want to hear your favorite art ways to engage with the arts around the holidays and beyond. 866-999-4626, or you can shoot us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point, and we're talking about ways to engage in the arts in the holiday and winter season. Is there a must-do seasonal art event on your calendar? Are you affiliated with music theater or art nonprofit? How are you keeping the public engaged in the arts this winter? 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Trish LaRose is calling, and Trish is with the Cape Cod Theater Company. Hi, Trish, and Harwich Junior Theater. I love that.
That's correct.
Yeah. What have you got on tap?
So over at CCTC HGJT, we're so excited for our 74th season. It's a joyous celebration of storytelling, including page-to-stage programming like How I Became a Pirate, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, Peter Pan, and The Hobbit, and musicals for the whole family like Disney's A Little Mermaid and Annie, and some shows geared for slightly older audiences like The Marvelous Wonderettes and Clue. And the beautiful thing about our theater, we're also excited to offer a robust year-round education programming for students 3.5 through adult, and to build on our production team apprenticeship program that the AFCC and John Kay and Thirza F. Davenport Foundation so generously supported this year with a workshop production of As You Like It in our outdoor theater. And we're closing out this season with A Christmas Carol, which opens this Thursday and runs through December 29th.
A classic. Yeah. Trish, I brought my grandson and my niece to How I Became a Pirate. This was before COVID. And we loved it. And that was one of his favorite books. And what fun that is.
Yes, it's such a classic, beloved children's story. And I actually have the wonderful opportunity to direct it this winter. So, yeah, it's just it's a wonderful story. It's so fun. And the kids love it. So we're thrilled. That's part of our season.
Great. Trish, thanks for calling and reminding us. We appreciate
that.
All right. Now this time, Roberta Kern from West Tewksbury for real. Hi, Roberta.
All right.
Hey, yay.
I'm like, hello. Hi. So I am, I do a lot of singing stuff. For more than 20 years, I've been leading community sings on Martha's Vineyard. And every year for 23 years, I've done a concert, which is part performance, but also community sing involving the audience. And that's on December 22nd at the Hebrew Center, which is an easy walk from the boat. Should you be... you know, off island, as we say, as islanders. If you're off island, you could take the boat. And it's at 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 22nd at the Hebrew Center. And it's not a holiday concert so much as just a celebration of light. And I travel around the world and I collect songs that are uplifting. And so we sing songs in a lot of different languages, but also in English.
Oh, how fun.
And so that's, and it's just, it's an hour long, you know, so it's not like a huge time commitment, and it's really great.
And I love that you have it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Roberta, because there's so many things that are happening on the islands that people go, oh, well, it's, you know, you got to, but you just hop on the ferry. You go, it's really easy. And especially if you can walk from the ferry, and then that gives you plenty of time. You can go grab something to eat and hop the ferry back.
Exactly.
You can have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely boat ride. And, you go. And then, you know, in addition to that, I do stuff, I do community singing things. So at the Chilmark Library on December 7th, I'm leading a bunch of songs and dancing songs for kids and adults. It's really a family-oriented event. And then on between Christmas and New Year's, on the 28th, I'm doing something at the Oak Bluffs Library, Singing for Every Body and Soul, which is involving more sort of experimental vocal improvisation, body percussion, different things that I'm learning about from some folks in Brazil that I'm studying with. And yeah, if anybody wants to hear about that, they can email me at BeWellSing.
Oh, BeWellSing, easy.
That's
all right.
That's the name of my organization.
Great.
So it's BeWellSing. If you Google that, you'll find me.
All right. Roberta, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing. We appreciate that. All right. We've got our pal David Keene on the line, who's from the Kituit Center for the Arts. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. It's nice to hear you all. I would like to just talk a little bit about the collaborative nature of the arts organizations on the Cape. It's incredible. So I'm going to talk about January, February, March. We have so much happening, and there's so much to offer in that first quarter of the year that I think people don't realize. We have our annual Winter Art Gallery Exhibition, which this year is called Transformation, and the art is hung at 4 feet eye level. We bring in kids throughout the Cape from all of the schools are welcome to come for field trips. We are going to do the play Metamorphoses on the main stage. We have Waiting for Godot in the Black Box Theater. There are a zillion classes of all visual and performing arts. The Marjorie Lynn Art Bus will be out at most of the elementary schools on the Cape in January, February, March. And I'm thrilled to invite the Metropolitan Opera mezzo-soprano superstar Denise Graves will be doing a concert in January. And you just heard from our friend Trish LaRose, who does so much for the artistic community. Her her autobiographical show, Come On to My House, is going to have a 4-week Valentine's run at our theater, coming to us from our friends at Cape Rep. There, wow. I could go on and on and on and on, as all of us could. So just visit the website. Thank you, Julie, for everything you're doing. Sarah and I, by the way, talk every year. We're right down the street from one another, and we want to collaborate more.
Yeah.
And but we really appreciate everyone's support. And I wish everyone a very happy holiday season. And there's a lot to do on the Cape in January, February, March, April, May, June.
Okay. David, thanks for all that. That's a lot to digest. Thank you, David. We appreciate
thanks,
as always. All right. Ann Smith is giving us a call. She's the executive director at Featherstone in the Vineyard. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Mindy. Thanks so much. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you.
I just want to echo what David says. There is a lot going on Martha's Vineyard as well as on the Cape. And Featherstone is a year-round community arts center focusing in the visual arts and literary arts and performing arts. And we still have our holiday gift show taking place right now, featuring 120 island artists creating handmade affordable gifts for the holidays, and so that runs through December 15th. We continue to have holiday class offerings, ornament class tonight, and collage, glazing classes, ceramics, and a felting fiber arts class next week in ornament making. And we, too, have programs running in January, February, March, April, May, June. We have a wonderful collaboration with the Martha's Vineyard Times in March, where we're featuring Islanders Write for literary artists and writers to come to Featherstone. Those are adult writers on Saturday, March 15th, and for children's writers on children who write on Sunday, March 16th. There's just so much to do here on Martha's Vineyard. So all of the arts organizations are open here. The cultural institutions are open. We are celebrating the holidays in December here with many different events. And we'd love for folks to come to Martha's Vineyard and experience the power of the arts.
Anne, you said something really, you talked about the handmade, you know, affordable gifts. What a great idea for, you know, you always have those people on your holiday list who have everything. You don't know what to get them, right? And who doesn't love something from an artist?
Yes, either an experience of going to the museum together, or a play or something like that, or a piece of art.
A piece of art, for gifts. Exactly.
Yeah.
Shop local. Yeah. We say shop local.
And thank you for that.
And thank you on this Giving Tuesday for supporting the arts. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Mindy.
Thank you. Bye, Ann. All right, Benson's giving us a call. He's a director at the Cape Cod Museum of Art. Hi, Benson.
Hi, yes. Great to be on your show.
What have you got? Yeah, tell us what you've got going on.
Well, of course, like many of the other cultural institutions you've spoken with today, we have a lot of holiday opportunities to buy local-made gift items. So we have Wrap It Up up right now with over 200 small works. And we'll have, for the December 8th, we have a, for the Dennis Village Holiday Stroll, we have a pop-up shop going on from noon to 4 p.m. on that Sunday. It's not all about shopping, obviously. We have a lot of exhibitions. We've got four really dynamic, diverse exhibitions up right now. One is called Think Big, Work Small, and it has art that is inspired by working small and then deriving really large ideas from working small. So that's a fun exhibition. We also have the visual art of Garrett Dutton, which is, he's a, also known as G Love. Right?
He's fun. Yeah.
I need to get in there and see this. I'm fascinated.
So he has a graffiti art style that is all in our lobby, and it's filled with love. And he will be doing a concert here on January 4th, and tickets are actually going on sale today. We have a permanent collection exhibition up right now called Poetic License, where we invited 30 local Cape Cod poets to respond to artwork from our permanent collection. And that's in our largest gallery, in the Hope McLennan Gallery. And we also have Mariniana. It's a digital textpressionist moving image exhibition by Karen Lafleur and Renata Janiswaska. And they have artwork that is done in a video format that responds to the ocean.
Oh.
So those are all current right now. We also have a members' juried exhibition that people can submit to called Why Cape Cod, and we're asking people to respond to what in their art that they take from Cape Cod and put into their artworks.
So there's lots going on. Go ahead, Sarah.
I wanted to thank Benton as well, because we have some objects from the collection of the Cape Cod Museum of Art on view in one of our current exhibitions on the artist Vera Jean Bogosian. And it's, as David Keene mentioned, our arts leaders are so collaborative, and we really appreciate Benton and other museums like PAM and the Cape Cod Museum of Art. Really, you know, their goal is to get these treasures out into public view, and it's so wonderful to be able to borrow from other museums.
A lot going on. Thanks so much for sharing what's happening at the Cape Cod Museum of Art. Appreciate that. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. This is really putting you on the spot, Julie, because it's like, who's your favorite child? Do you have something? Do you have something on your list at this time of year that you just a must go see for you?
Oh, that's so good. I love to get outside, especially in the winter. So I'm really looking forward to going to some of the strolls and things like that. But because I have two on the younger side kids, I have this thing called FFF. Forced Family Fun. And it always involves some kind of creative adventure. So we like to see musicals and theater, and I do, my heart is really over at Harwich Junior Theater. It's not I also love, like, you know, there's so much going on, but my kids have taken classes there, and I feel
that,
like,
is such a great thing, though, because a lot of the other, like, David Keene gets some of the kids from Harwich Junior Theater for his performances, so they're training them over there. But
both
then,
places,
spreading it all over the place.
Yes, I love the local theater opportunities for kids. These are things that I never took advantage of when I was a kid, but I see my children just kind of blossom and gain confidence. It's amazing to watch. The other thing I want to go to is Holly Folly down in Provincetown.
Well, tell us what Holly Folly is. I don't know.
So
what that is.
It's a Christmas show down in Provincetown. It involves singing and drag and all the colorful things that go on down in Provincetown. And I'm really looking forward to it.
What about you, Sarah? What are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, sometimes for me, holidays are, you know, nostalgic, and we look back to tradition. So I love museums. So I like to go to historic house museums. You know, Falmouth Museums on the Green does a terrific job at the holidays. But it's a great time, you know, to go back and capture that cozy feeling of being in a historic house.
And we've got Highfield Hall and Gardens.
Who does,
they do something different all the time. That I guess this is their 18th annual holidays at Highfield. Fantastic. The theme is Timeless Tales, A Literary Journey. So curious to see what that is. But they always have a lot going on as well. And then, of course, the Falmouth Chamber of Commerce and Village Association annual Holidays by the Sea Parade. Holiday Parade coming up. That's the parade is Sunday. But there's a lot of others, like caroling and, you know, Santa arriving by boat. There's all kinds of things that go along with that. I don't. Are there other Christmas parades on the Cape? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Hyannis.
Hyannis has one, too?
I don't know if David brought this up, but there's a Charlie Brown Christmas album at Catoosa Center for the Arts on December 16th.
So fun.
And this is another great example of cross-sector collaboration. It's a free, but for a gift card to benefit families at housing assistance shelters. So I love when I see stuff like this collaboration. Cape Cod Cans holiday show. There's a Celtic Christmas concert in Chatham at the Drama Guild on Saturday, December 14th. Caribbean Christmas with the Cape Symphony in Falmouth. And I know that Cape Symphony always does their holiday pops. Holiday on the Cape concert this weekend coming up.
And I would say, I think most arts organizations offer reduced or, for families that can't afford, there are opportunities for folks who can't afford it.
We, at the Cahoon, we have Cards to Culture, so it offers families low-cost admission. And then I like to have lots of opportunities for free engagement. So, for example, this Saturday, we have an open house free all day with family activities in the morning, and we have the Bourne High School students have a student exhibition in the afternoon from 1 to 3. So if you want to stop by and support some young local artists. But we love doing seasonal open houses and just have our doors open to the community. Welcome everybody in.
So much going on. It's like you wouldn't know, right?
That Card to Culture program is so important. So that's something that I believe all the cultural organizations here take part in. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a EBT cardholder, get any kind of assistance, you're able to access some of these programs for free or for a discount. One of the things to add to this, I just want to mention, is that at the Arts Foundation, we have a program called AFCC Access, and that connects kids who are economically challenged and connects them with extracurricular arts activities. Mm-hmm. And so we work with grandparents raising grandchildren, big brothers, big sisters, and we're trying to work with as many community partners to connect these kids with extracurricular arts
because
activities.
We know research shows
arts
is very important.
Yes.
And Sarah, we were talking before we went on the air how some of these kids, you have field trips of kids who come through, and the kid that's that super quiet kid in class who never says anything, and all of a sudden this is the kid with every question and like just super inspired, because as you said, people learn differently, and giving them access to the arts is so powerful.
And getting out into museums in front of actual objects, seeing things that they just never would see in other places is so important. Mm. And sometimes, there are challenges, like Julie mentioned, getting kids to museums. So programs like the Access Program are so important. And we'll go into the schools, too, just to make it easier for the teachers.
We're talking about opportunities to engage with the arts in the holiday and winter season. We're inviting you to share upcoming events, plays, music, things that you look for the holiday season and beyond. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can send an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about opportunities to engage with the arts in the holiday and winter season. What are your favorite ways to engage with the arts in the region? Are you taking a ceramics class, maybe going to live theater or music venues? Share what you love about the arts and some events you don't want to miss. We need to know about that. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us is Julie Wake, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod, and Sarah Johnson, Executive Director and CEO at the Cahoon Museum in Kitiwit. So COVID, as we've talked about before, Julie, was devastating to some arts organization, but it also offered some opportunity as many shifted to more hybrid offerings, increasing availability to some people who maybe don't want to go out after dark or who have some disabilities. I'm wondering what you're hearing about this transformation and how it's going. I've been hearing a lot saying, this is great. We hadn't thought about reaching out in these ways that we're doing now. Do you have arts organizations telling you that?
Yeah, I'm seeing that the quality has gone up, that people really had time to think about accessibility to their programming. A lot of technology has been updated. Air filtering systems have been updated, as we know. And so I'm seeing a lot of positive, sold out, busy traffic this year. I mean, we meet with Sarah's part of the arts leaders group, and we're hearing that audiences are up tremendously, especially down in the Provincetown Association and Art Museum. Chris McCarthy had just shared with us recently that she was up, I forget, it was like 300%.
Yeah, and it's worth like that. It is worth driving to Provincetown to go to Pam.
It really is.
It's awesome.
And, Sarah does, supporting the history of local artists. She's also showing contemporary artists that we have right now. Like, she just had Richard Neal, the visual artist. I know that you've worked with him too,
yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
So he just had his big show. Yeah. Joe Diggs is going to have a show next summer. So there's these are really important institutions, not just for audiences to see and enjoy, but for these artists mm-hmm. themselves to have a role in, you know, playing in this history of, you know, great art making here on Cape Cod.
You know, it's interesting too when you look at some of the collaborations. Like, I was just thinking, it's no longer there, but Carl Lopes and Bob Dane, Blast Blower. Who would think?
That
I mean, everybody
with
Carl Lopes, his stuff. Oh my gosh, it's just like it's so vibrant and colorful. And then you've got Bob Dane with the glass blowing, and the two of them coming together for that. You know,
it's
just
magic.
Amazing.
The Sandwich Glass Museum is another fabulous, fabulous place. And people have been calling out the museum shops, which it's important to keep our funds local too and support mm-hmm. local craftspeople. But keep in mind the museum shops at the holiday
have
time.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
Really cool
like
stuff.
I say, you're looking for that something for somebody who has everything.
Yeah.
So what is the impact of COVID had on the Cahoon Museum?
Well, a lot. I mean, we definitely saw a shift towards virtual programs. People want to enjoy programming in the comfort of their own home, but also our outdoor spaces. People just want to be outdoors and they mm-hmm. want art experiences. So we've been doing a lot of development of our property mm-hmm. to accommodate that.
Yeah. And because, we've rediscovered outdoors.
I know.
Carolyn writes, a Cape Cod Museum of Art docent curated exhibit from the museum's permanent collection is currently on loan to the JFK Museum in Hyannis through January. It's called From Here to There and is exhibited on the second floor of the JFK Museum. It includes docent research wall text on the 19 pieces of art. Carolyn, thanks for sharing that. If you have something you'd like to share with us that it's a must-see on our art calendar, 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right. You got something else you want to
add? Yeah, I just noticed I have a list of all the things, my favorite things that I want to do. More things. So the Academy of Performing Arts, December 5th to the 22nd, has one of my favorites, Elf.
Elf?
Yeah, so good. Elf the Musical.
Fun.
So that's a good one. I think everyone should put that on their list as well.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
Yeah.
And this weekend, if you're interested in makers and supporting our, which I know everyone is interested in this, but Love Live Local has their annual holiday stroll mm-hmm. down in the Hyannis area. So they have a ton going on. So they have a parade. They have a boat parade.
Oh, wow.
They have Love Live Local on one day, and then they have all kinds of things down in on the Main Street area, so all along the harbor. So that is a really nice opportunity. It's so different. And mm-hmm. then all the villages are having their kind of kickoff.
I want to mention, if you do decide you're heading to Provincetown to check out some of the galleries, museum, I want to mention, because David Drake is always so good from the Provincetown Theater of sharing what's coming up. And since he hasn't called in, I'm going to say for him, he's got Almost Maine playing now, a magically real comedy by John Cariani, directed by David Drake. And that's through this weekend, so December 8th. So now's your chance to catch that. I don't know much about the actual play, but I'm sure it's great, right? So head on down for that. Funding is always an issue, right? So have we seen philanthropic endeavors returning to the arts? Because we remember, and when we have something like COVID, a lot of money gets shifted to you know, the human services organizations. So what's happening on the philanthropic side with the arts?
Good question.
Well, we are community-supported organizations, and I mm-hmm. think there's great pride by philanthropists on Cape Cod to support. I mean, it literally is our community that keeps us going. So mm-hmm. we have seen at the Cahoon, we've seen our, you know, funders step up and really support what we're doing, because they recognize the value. We're so grateful for this support. So there are a lot of family foundations, a lot of local businesses. A lot of businesses sponsor mm-hmm. events and programs. I mean, our community really mm-hmm. support comes from everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's such a great opportunity to partner with a cultural organization or with the Arts Foundation to you know, it's kind of a win-win when you think about it. Like, if you have a business and you want to be seen and connect with the community, the arts are such a great place to do that, because we're out and about. We're talking to everybody, throughout the Cape and in the region, talking about arts and culture and going to performances. And I think getting the second home buyer to enjoy and connect with a place like the Cahoon, where they want to do some board work, they want to do some volunteer work and get engaged and meet new people, like-minded people that are into arts and culture. It's such a great place to connect. And then, of course, you know, this is our job, is stewarding the community, like Sarah said, to support what we're all doing, because it's we're only here as long as they can help.
Right. You know. I suppose we haven't heard from Nantucket this morning. So if there's something going on in Nantucket you want to share, I know they have their holiday stroll. I believe that's this weekend
this
as
weekend?
Well, which is also a very fun weekend of all kinds of stuff. So feel free to give us a call if there's something going on in Nantucket you want to share with us. 866-999-4626 or send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Julie, you just mentioned boards, and there was a time like the boards, it's like the same people on the same board. And the lack of younger voices, right? Mm-hmm. That's changing, right? Are we seeing a more diversity in boards on, you know, on across everything?
It's still a work in progress. I think that you're right. They're still the same people that we all want because they're so good at being board members.
And ambassadors
for, you know, what we all do. I see a lot more diversity on boards, and that's been really lovely to see that there's different voices and backgrounds that are contributing to the success of what we're all doing. There's still a high demand for board members that have that entrepreneurial spirit, have business experience. This is something Sarah and I talk about quite a bit.
Yeah, and have a passion for arts and culture and understand nonprofits as well. You know, sometimes people have corporate backgrounds, but being able to translate those skills to our local organizations, it's so important. I mean, we can't do what we do without volunteers, and board members are, you know, a critical group of volunteers that really lend us all of this specialized expertise.
And this is, I think, such an important time for arts organizations, because people are looking for distractions. You know, the world is, you know, climate
heavy
change and wars and all this stuff is going on, and people are like, I can't take any more. So it's I would think, just in the fact that people are looking for distractions would be boding well for arts organizations.
That's what a museum is. It's a place to step out of the stress of your everyday life and just experience beauty, maybe learn something new, have an experience with friends. I mean, we need that. We need these special places for reflection and gathering. You know, museums are also, and other cultural places are kind of non-political spaces a lot of the time, places where everybody can come together and enjoy a concert, for example, and you're just in that moment. It's if you have family members who have differing views, like bring them to a museum or a concert and
that's
enjoy that experience
idea
together.
And again, having kids, you know, learn about the arts is also
hugely,
Oh,
this is on my list.
What is that? Okay, listener says Woods Hole Renaissance Fair.
Oh,
music, crafts. Oh yeah,
my daughter wants to go to this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Does she? Will she dress up? That'd
I
be
don't
fun.
Know. She probably will.
Yeah. I have to tell you a funny story about dress up. So we had a mermaid festival this year, and we found that families came, mothers, fathers, children in costume. We had a live mermaid. So we're expanding on that next year. Yes, they're actually, she sends her emails with Shallow, and she signs them swimmingly.
Oh, how funny.
She came with her own clamshell.
That's hysterical.
So,
it doesn't say, when is the Woods Hole Renaissance Fair? It's got to be coming up pretty soon.
I feel
soon,
like
right?
It's like the 20th or something.
Okay, Jenny's going to write that down for us.
Yeah.
This Saturday? Okay, this Saturday. Well, a lot going on this weekend, right? Molly from Holiday at Highfield says, it sounds as if you haven't been this year. I urge you to go. It's truly amazing. Okay, I've got to put that on the list, too. Julie, one of the things we talked about, Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Have there already been any conversations of adding it And the islands?
Yes. Or just being the Arts Foundation.
For the region.
For the region. I think that's a really good question. We are slowly getting over to the islands, specifically for individual artists. We'd like to help support with professional development, convening, networking. We just had a fairly large conference over at the Catoot Center for the Arts this past October with almost 200 attendees. And we had great feedback about the keynote and other presenters and panels. But the one thing after the event survey, the one thing that everyone wants more of is networking. They want to spend more time together. They want to learn from each other. You know, we had a poet leading a discussion about journaling. We had a storyteller leading a discussion about how important that is to your practice to be able to talk about your work in a story type of, you know, format. So all these things, just connecting people together. And, you know, there's so many like small business association type of networking opportunities, but there's hardly anything for artists. Mm. And artists, I believe, really need that connection with each other to learn and, you know, seeing the collaborative efforts between two individual artists, like a glassmaker and a visual artist, is just, it's magical to see. And it just only adds value to both of their practices. So we're really focused this year on investing more in what does the sector need. If they need to come together more, that's where the Arts Foundation will be doing it, and hopefully on the islands as well.
Yeah. It's something you do so well, Julie, and the Arts Foundation is convening and bringing groups of people together. For the Arts Leaders Group, it's a phenomenal resource, and we can, you know, share ideas and thoughts and collaborate. The Creative Exchange programs have been terrific. The annual conference is really wonderful. It's sometimes I go to a conference like that, and that's when I see everybody across the Cape. You know, sometimes you're so busy in your own organization, it takes something like that to get us all together.
All right, so we need some more networking. All right, so last couple minutes we have, I want to ask you, Sarah, I mentioned I haven't been in the Cahoon Museum since before the renovation. And every time I drive by, there's always something really cool. You know, you had the blue trees, then you like had the quilt around the building, and you've always got the cool sculptures. So for those like me who haven't been in a while, what are we going to see when we get inside?
You're going to see galleries and galleries of art, of contemporary art, bright, beautiful gallery spaces, historic house galleries where you can get very intimate and up close with art. You'll see right now we have contemporary book arts with 13 local artists with all different expressions of book arts, including an artist who made a book out of stone with Braille. So you can read that. Yeah, you will be astounded and surprised because it looks like, you know, a nice historic house from the outside. But when you come in, you're not going to believe how much is in this building. And not just historical, but contemporary and really unique combinations of both as well.
So, we want to stay tuned because as you've bought the building next door, and there's all kinds of growth plans in the works.
Lots of plans.
So we want to stay tuned for that.
Yes. And we'd love, you know, if people in the community have thoughts and ideas about what the Cahoon should be doing with its new property, you know, we're here to serve the community and be an asset. We have these great historic buildings, these gardens. We want to do something really fabulous.
All right. So we'll stay tuned.
And you're going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Sarah Johnson is the Executive Director and CEO at the Cahoon Museum in Catoot. Julie Wakes, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Thank you both for being here and sharing all
thank
the great
you.
Things that are happening. And thanks again.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you
for
supporting
having us.
The arts.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.